Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm hoping that I can speak nice and clearly for everyone today. Right. So as Joel was mentioning, I am moving on soon. And so when I was thinking about this sermon, I suppose, it's also been a time when I've been reflecting on the reason why I came to Aberystwyth in the first place. And that was to come and study zoology back in 2013. And I thought I'd be getting to study exciting animals like giraffes and rhinoceroses. I loved monkeys as well. They were my favourite animal. What I didn't expect, do we have the slide? It's just quite how much time I would spend looking at and studying crabs. There's a crab. And this is going to seem like a really random, like, segue into what we're going to be talking about, but it was something that like came into my mind. So yeah, here's a crab. You might recognize this, the green shore crab, otherwise known as the common shore crab. Familiar to anyone who's been down at the harbour crabbing or been rock pooling by the beach. And they're not such a friendly local crab to some other people, because the green shore crab, if we go to the next slide, has been spreading across the world. And so, as an invasive species, it's trying to take continent by continent, expanding its global kingdom. And we're going to be talking about a global kingdom this morning, one that doesn't bring competition and death to other species, but one that brings life wherever it goes, wherever it finds a place to live. So that's my segue today. Crabs, hey? I thought, though, actually, being more serious, it would be rude not to be considering the Great Commission this morning. That's going to be our starting point, our key passage. And so why don't we read it together? I think I've got it there. Is that legible for everyone? Cool. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. Thank you, Lord. So today we're going to consider a couple of things about this passage, and then we're going to think a bit more. We've already sort of thought a bit about how we can be part of the Great Commission, but we're going to do a bit of that at the end as well. So the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about the Great Commission is that it's making disciples of all nations. That's the thing that sort of, for me anyway, is like the main thing that gets highlighted immediately. And what I want to do is consider how that reflects God's intention for his creation by comparing it to other verses in the Bible. And it's going to reveal to us God's purposes for this world and how he's unchanging in those purposes. So what I want to do first is just compare it to the very start of the Bible in Genesis 1, where we can join the sixth day of creation, where it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" So after God created, we can see that right from the start, his intention was to fill the earth. He blesses Adam and Eve by firstly making them in his image so that they can rule over the rest of creation. And he blesses them to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth. So before the fall, the earth was to be filled with his image, taking God's rule with him. It's a global kingdom. But we all know that that didn't go quite to plan, because men with our free will and not helped by temptation, we fell into sin. But God's purposes for his creation didn't change. He still wanted a global kingdom, his rule. And that's a loving rule, as we see it, just the way that he treats his people. He wants his rule to be still over the whole world. And we can see that throughout the Bible. And I just want to flick through some passages just so we can see this for ourselves this morning. So the next one is in Genesis 9, I think. I don't know if this is working, actually. Is it? Maybe not. Can you click the next one? There we are. Okay. So we see in the story of Noah, the wickedness of man meant that God had to bring renewal through the flood. But we see after that, there's a repeat of the blessing that God gives to Adam and Eve. He says, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Again, we see that same sort of blessing slash command. And I want to show us that in many of God's ways, he shows us his global purposes, that his heart is for all people. And even when he's dealing with Pharaoh, who is sort of coming against God and Moses, not letting the people leave, the Israelites leave, God says to Moses to tell Pharaoh, for by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I've raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So even his actions towards those who come against him, God shows that purpose for all nations to know him. And yeah, we keep seeing throughout the Bible, if we go to the next slide as well. One key thing that you find a lot is that there's a call to pray, for all the earth to praise God and declare his glory. And we see that in an example here in 1 Chronicles. It says, sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. And then all the way through the Bible, and we see it in the Great Commission as well, all the way to the end in Revelation, we see this same purpose and intention for the world and all the nations, where it says, after this I looked up, and before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. So Jesus, with the Great Commission, is affirming this purpose, which we've seen all the way through, by saying that there's going to be disciples. He wants disciples of all nations. And ever since the fall, it's only through him that the sins of the world can be taken away. Through the death on the cross that pays a price for sin for all, Jew or Gentile, all who come in repentance to him and accept him as Lord and Savior. This is something that God invites us all into. So if you're here wondering whether Jesus is for you or not today, well, you're part of every nation, you're part of every people, you're part of every tribe and language. So yes, Jesus is for you today. If that's something that you're wondering about, he's calling to you. It's sort of affirming something that Elaine was saying earlier, actually. Yeah, so this, for the first bite, is what I'm trying to get across, is that the Great Commission is a pointer to God's intentions and that these are unchanging. He wants his kingdom here on earth and for his reign to rule over all. Now, this is fulfilled in Jesus and ultimately will be fully fulfilled in the new creation. And after the fall and the history of God's people, that looks like taking the gospel out for everyone to hear. You can share what God has done, that he can rule in the hearts of people who will follow him and go and make disciples of all nations. I think we easily remember God's love is unchanging. We easily remember that we get mercy from him every day. But this plan of his is unchanging. It doesn't change. So that's my first point. And it's another thing that we can take confidence in. It's one of the reasons why we say God is steadfast, because he is unchanging. He can't be swayed. He's not subject to peer pressure. So for my second point this morning, I would just want to consider that it is a commission. It's called the Great Commission, and it might seem really obvious to state, but it is a commission. And if we look back to that first blessing, it says, go and fill the earth. These are instructions. So God wants us to do something. But having just thought about, well, this is God's plan, these are his purposes, he's got a plan, why do we have to do anything? Isn't he sovereign? We've talked about God being Lord this morning, Jesus being Lord. And as Lord, he's sovereign, isn't he sovereign? Does this commission mean that he needs us to bring his plans to fruition? And I say this because I think it's an important point to get our perspective on mission correct when we're going out to witness, evangelize, or make disciples of all nations, because it's under the sovereignty of God. So, one point I just want to make, that how do we know God is sovereign, is we believe it because we pray. I put it on that slide, but our prayer shows that we believe God is sovereign because he's the one that we're asking for things to happen. He's the one that we're asking for salvation to come to people. Doesn't that show that we actually believe it? But the scripture does actually tell where we... gone the wrong way. The scripture says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. So he is sovereign to do that. It says in Lamentations, who has spoken and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? And then maybe a more tricky verse for us to digest sometimes. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So that's God's sovereignty. We're chosen and predestined. So if he's sovereign, why does he need us to do anything? What difference can we make to his plans? Whether or not people are saved or not. If it's going to happen, then it's going to happen, right? Well, God has clearly shown that he's sovereign. And he also shows regularly that he is greater than our understanding. He doesn't work within the boundaries and assumptions that our world and minds operate under. And whilst it is clear that he's sovereign, it also is clear that he commands us to go. He's really good at making two things work together at the same time, which sometimes seem hard to work together for us. He's love and he's a righteous judge. Jesus is a lion and a lamb. He's man and divine. And here we see that he is sovereign. But the fact that he's sovereign does not remove our duty and purpose to share Jesus. And Paul says, move on to that one. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's verses like this and the Great Commission that tell us that God chooses to accomplish his gospel goals through those who know him. Not that he relies on us. It just shows that he has redeemed the purposes that we had for our own lives. And he actually gives us grace because he lets us be part of that plan. He lets us live out that new will which we have, which he's put in us when he redeems us. And we want to obey his commands as well. So that's an honor and a grace which we get from God once we know him. So God is sovereign, and Paul writes of predestination about those who are chosen. This shouldn't mean that we evangelize to some and not others either. Because it says later in that passage that earlier in that passage, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's everyone. And so sometimes we try to figure out the mechanics of how these things work, but can we claim to know exactly how that predestination works? We who are subject to time. But God is outside of it. Everything is set out before him. And so we just have to obey him. So it's true that the gospel is available to all. So in our reaching out, we can be aware that some will accept that message and some will reject it. We can go believing that the gospel message is for some and not... We can't go believing that the gospel message is for some and not others. Maybe there are some here worrying that they aren't chosen. But I want you to know that when Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock," he says, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." So if you're worried that you're not chosen, God is knocking at the door of your heart. Open your heart to him and he will come in. This is a promise that he has made. So I just want to also encourage us with the sovereignty of God, because it means that we can be spurred on and be bold in evangelism. Because nothing that we can do will actually make anyone believe anything. It's only by God being sovereign, him working in the Spirit through what we do, that people can be saved. And the fact that Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations," means that there will be disciples of all nations. So if that's what's been laid on your heart, but you're worried about nothing happening, God can work through you if you have the, if your will is aligned with his. Yeah. Like I say, there's no magic method that can cause anyone to believe anything. It's the fact that God is sovereign. He has a plan, and he will use our efforts to draw people to himself. And it's verses like Isaiah 55. There we go. That can encourage us and give us confidence. He says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I sent it." If we take his word out, he will achieve the purposes he has for it. And another thing about his sovereignty, I want it to, it helps us be patient, and we can see that in the outworking of his purposes through missionaries and the fact that we keep praying for friends and family who have not known the grace of God yet. It makes us patient. It makes us keep praying for them because we know he's sovereign. You hear about missionaries who've been on the mission field for years, seeing barely any fruit, hardly anyone coming to know Jesus. But they keep going. And why do they keep going? It's because they know God. They know that he is Lord. They know that he is sovereign. And they keep persevering in prayer as well. Which leads me on to the first application point, because all of us can be part of this great commission. And we've sort of spoken on this as well, about what part can we play. Prayer is the number one thing that everyone can do to be part of God's great commission. Not everyone is destined to go to another country, drop everything in their life, but prayer is the thing that we can all do. So whatever stage of life you're in, you can pray. Because God is in control of all things. He's the one that we come to and ask that people will be saved, that there will be times of revival, that our friends and family, our town, our nation, and every nation would come to know his saving grace. We can even pray that people would be called to evangelize here and across the world, to go out and share the gospel. We can pray that God would use our witness, our words, our actions to reveal himself to others. And whilst we're praying, why don't we inform our prayers? We've spoken a bit about Elam Missions already, and they've got 60 missionaries, they said. Go and find out about what the missionaries are doing. Inform your prayers. Make them make yourself able to pray about the details about what's going on in these places and for these people. On the website, I looked up some of the Elam missionaries. There's a really cool family. They were all surfers, and their mission is to go around the world witnessing to other surfers wherever they go. How cool is that? What a grace that God lets them do something they love whilst on mission for him. Or I've got Open Doors up there, because if you want to pray for the persecuted church, they have some great prayer resources. You get an email every week, and a leaflet and things. Really great prayer resources for the persecuted church. And pray for unreached people groups. In my experience, I've had experience with Frontiers. And there's an app called the Joshua Project that give you every single day an unreached people group that you can pray for. Lots of details, what resources, gospel resources are available to them, and how you can pray for those people. So yeah, inform your prayers. We've spoken a bit about financial support as well. So God cares about how we use our finances, and if our sort of will is aligning with his, and we're praying for these, for people of every nation to come to know him, why don't we invest in what we have in that goal? I wanted to spend a little bit of time on sending, because it's as a church that we send. And just to read that verse again from Romans, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So sending is a thing. It's a thing that church can be proactive in. And I think it's really hard, because sometimes in church life, it's easy to sort of see or identify gifts in others, where you know they've got a musical gift, and so they come and be part of the team that leads musical worship. Or someone is very confident and good at speaking in front of people, maybe less like, not someone as like me. and they can come and preach. Or people who have a real passion for prayer lead prayer meetings. Or people who are great at just serving others. These things can be easy to identify, and because we're doing weekly church life, it's easy to see how they can serve. We can serve each other, be part of that body. Sometimes it's harder to see gifts in someone that lends them to going overseas, because you don't know what situation is going to be seen there, whether it's church planting or if it's just living in a country where Jesus is being suppressed and they have to witness in a more everyday way. So I think the first question we have to ask each other is, who's willing to go? We can't send someone who's not willing. Just go and get out on the mission. Who's willing to go? And we've heard earlier about the seriousness that which you have to consider the cost of going and witnessing for Jesus in some of these places, some of these nations where God is wanting to win souls and make those disciples of every nation. It can cost us everything we have in this life. But what is that compared to the paradise that we get to be in afterwards? So maybe we should ask ourselves, am I willing to go and let God speak to us in times of reflection and contemplation? Ask the Spirit to reveal anything to you. Right, I've scrolled off. Where am I? So which does lead to going. Yeah, we had from the Elam video, maybe people have had it on their heart to go or explore going for a long time, or just go on a short-term mission. That can be a really good, for me, it was a really good step in just revealing what's involved in mission, seeing what teams are doing in other countries, and thinking, oh, am I willing to go and live in this way, or potentially willing if God leads me there? And sort of short-term trips, I would say, and encourage you that they're a great gateway to God revealing more of what his plan is for you if you're exploring mission. So you can come in contact with some of these mission agencies. They have groups for people who are exploring. So I would encourage anyone who's thinking about mission to go and do that. get in touch with them, or speak to friends here, leaders in the church, and just have some people to pray with about this. But at the same time, I don't think everyone is called to go overseas. We're all called to be missionaries in some way, because we are all living amongst those who, many people who don't know Jesus. So there's a need to go and do mission here. Wales is part of every nation, and so we should go out in Wales. That's what Zach's vision was, North Wales. It's great. And there's those deliberate church planting efforts. There's deliberate efforts from churches to go and speak about Jesus to people on the street. The HOTS team would love for you to join them. And yeah, it's a very different feeling going deliberately. Your goal is to speak about Jesus to someone. And I'm always really challenged with boldness in that situation. But I'm always really encouraged by the conversations that I have. And sometimes God makes it easy because someone just comes to you and says, I need prayer for something. Or, what do you think about this? And you just immediately, in a conversation, and you can bring Jesus to the foreground and let them see him. And they can, yeah, because many people have misconceptions about who Jesus is. Doing those deliberate acts is a great sort of confidence builder. God can use your words in someone else's life. And we can encourage the group HOTS, we encourage one another and build each other up. And I think that's a really valuable thing. But we're also going out every day, aren't we? The things that we do, even just the things that little things that we say, these are witnesses for Jesus. So I want to encourage you that to be aware of that when you're going about your everyday life, even the menial things, you can bring an encouragement to someone who needs it. And we can pray for those opportunities, that those friends and colleagues, even random people that we might meet, opportunities to speak about Jesus, to share the testimonies that we have. Because the testimony is something that each of us has and can't be taken away. We know what God has done in our lives. And if someone wants to know that, then we can share that. On that, my one top tip would be to allow yourself to be interruptible. Because most of the good conversations I've had just through random everyday life is because I've been interrupted by someone. So allow yourself to be interruptible. Maybe there's someone who's sleeping rough that you can offer to feed or just have a chat with, or someone that you can help. Someone's looking for directions or something. You just get chatting, and then you never know where that conversation will go. So that's my tip. Be interruptible. Which also means be a bit more organized, which I have to tell myself, so I'm not rushing everywhere. Okay. So let me just summarize. We considered the Great Commission. I'm sorry we didn't go through the passage and pick out every little bit, which is something that I do like to do, but this time it's a bigger picture. We've seen how it fits into God's overall plan and purpose, and that's an unchanging plan, that people from all over the earth will know him and that come under his loving rule. And that Great Commission is God sharing that purpose with us by his sovereign power, using our efforts to share Jesus. Because he is sovereign, we can have confidence, patience, and we're led to pray. And that's something that we can all do. And we can all do everyday mission, but we can ask God, is there more that you want me to do? Is there somewhere you want me to go? And as a church, we can ask, who shall we send? We can ask each other that. So that wraps up what I had prepared. I hope God had something for everyone there. And I didn't mumble too much. That's the main one of the main things. Yeah, I'll just pray. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you that you are sovereign. Thank you that you are Lord. And that your plan for us, your intention would be that we would all come under your grace, under your loving rule. But thank you that you share your purpose in sharing Jesus with other people. Thank you that we are honored in this way. Thank you that you redeem us, not just by taking our sins away, but you redeem our hearts in that we would want to serve you, in that we would want to obey your commands, in that we would want to share what Jesus has done in our lives, because it's so important. It's not something that we can sit on the fence with, Lord. So we want to be all in for you, Lord. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, that if there's anything for anyone here that we need to do, whether it's considering going for you, whether it's a short trip or long term, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you'd reveal that. And Lord, reveal where we can give more if we need to do that. Show us how we can pray more effectively for the work of the work that your people are already doing. And Lord, we have to accept that you're sovereign. And in our prayers, we just keep coming to you and saying, Lord, bring revival where there's darkness. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the light in the darkness. And thank you that you are sovereign. It doesn't rely on our efforts. But help us to be encouraged. Holy Spirit, give us boldness for Jesus. Sometimes it's easy to feel shy and like no one wants to hear from little old me. But you've given us each a story of how Jesus has turned our lives around. A story where we've experienced the love of God and that's transformed our whole outlook on the world. And thank you, Lord, that you will bring us all raised up one day to be with you. So help us to share that. In Jesus' name, amen.